Quadrant Podcast, Chicago's home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
Welcome to another episode of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm here. This is Dion Morales. I'm here with Ron.
Hello, everybody. This is Gold Leader.
I'm here with Alex.
Hey, everybody.
And later on in the show, we're going to be joined by Marcel, your North American 2016 champion. He is a member of the Gold Squadron. And today we're going to be covering what happened at Gen Con, specifically more about the tournament itself, looking at the meta, and some of the things that were announced. Sound good, guys?
Sounds great.
All right, let's get started.
Unlock the hologram.
All right, so first thing I want to cover today is the fact that Wave 10 was revealed. Alex, tell me a little bit about that stuff.
So, at Gen Con, FFG revealed the ships for Wave 10. They're kind of all over the place. So, we have, for Rebels, Sabine's TIE Fighter, which is pretty interesting. So, it's going to be a TIE Fighter for Rebels. I think the key thing is that it's going to be possible to get a small ship with an illicit slot for Rebels. For Imperials, we're going to get the Upsilon-class shuttle, a.k.a. Kylo Ren's shuttle. And for Scum, we're going to get the Quad Jumper, which is also seen in Force Awakens as Unkar Plutt's ship on Jakku. Some of the cool things that come with each ship, like I said, with Sabine's TIE, we get the possibility of illicit on a small base. The Upsilon has something completely new to X-Wing. Is going to be condition cards, and we'll go over that when we go a little more in-depth to these ships. And the Quad Jumper has what seems to be a potentially reverse maneuver, so we'll have to find out with those. But that's what's coming for Wave 10, and we're pretty excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty cool. A little concerned about board state with the Sabine's TIE and people maybe getting confused. But it'll be all fun.
I think it's cool that we're starting to get ships that, you know, Imperial ship in a Rebel faction, that kind of a thing. I think that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and I mean, it's true to the current canon. I mean, it happened in Star Wars Rebels. You saw you saw the Rebel pilots. You saw Sabine fly it. You saw, what's his face? You saw Ezra fly it. And I think you also saw, what's the purple guy's name?
Zeb,
yes. You also saw Zeb fly it. So I think I saw all the cards were unique. But anyway, let's not worry about that. We're going to talk more about Wave 10 in our next episode. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of today, and that's talking about the North American Championship Tournament at Gen Con. We had a few people go. We had myself play in the tournament, Marcel, the champion, played in the tournament, Ron and his wife Andrea played, and as well as our friend and also Gold Squadron member Francois Moret. Ron, I know that you went, but you were more just kind of going to play casually because you wanted to play a bunch of other things at Gen Con.
Yeah, absolutely. We also have, forgot to mention one more person, Mike Jones. He also played in the tournament. He actually helped me start the whole Gold Squadron thing, but then ended up moving to Ohio, so that's why you guys aren't that familiar with him. My wife and I have a couple friends. I've been going to Gen Con for 23 years. They like to meet us at Gen Con. They live in other states like Seattle, Ohio, Kansas City, and stuff like that. So, unfortunately for me, at least this year, it really wasn't possible to dedicate 2 days of a tournament to any one game. Not to saying that I'm automatically would have made the cut, but I think my chances would have been pretty good to at least go through that whole first day and have a chance at a cut. So, I only went with intentions of playing a single round, and I played a single round. I ended up playing Nathan Ide's cousin, who's really new to X-Wing, and I thought I would play like a fun 3 X-Wing build simply because I forgot to really make my bomber list that I was planning on playing.
Yeah,
sorry, everybody.
You got called out for that one.
Yeah, I really had all intentions to make this bomber list, but honestly, as Gen Con kind of crept up on me and I was trying to pack, I didn't have a list ready. So I just grabbed a list that I had used before that was fun, that was also only 3 ships and it could easily fit in my bag, and because I didn't bring all of my X-Wing stuff. So I ran 3 X-Wings, Luke, Jack Porkins, and Biggs, and it's a fun list. But when I played Nathan Idy's cousin, he was running 4 TLT spam, and I lost an X-Wing every round because, well, they can't beat TLT.
Yeah, that's rough. I know you said a couple people came up to you and was like, Ron, are you quitting X-Wing?
Yeah, a couple people were like, hey, why aren't you playing? Aren't you part of this Gold Squadron thing? And I just laughed. I'm like, trust me, slowly roll. Like, not quitting X-Wing. It's still my favorite game. I still play it all the time. It's just that one of those things, because I play it all the time, when I go to Gen Con and I'm trying to hang out with people that I never get to see, I want to play more cooperative games with them. You know, if they all played X-Wing in the tournament, great, but they don't. So I didn't want to just go there all day. And when you play in a tournament, you're basically playing by yourself. Like, you can see your friends in between rounds, but you're really playing a game by yourself all day long, where we wanted to play a lot of games together. So that's the only reason. But next year, we're going to take 2 additional days, go to Gen Con, play all of our games together for those 2 days, and then we'll enter our tournaments and be able to finish them out.
Very cool, very cool. And unfortunately, Alex, I know you couldn't make it, buddy.
Yeah, I was in the middle of moving, so couldn't make it out, but I'm definitely going to plan for it next year. I was super, super jealous just watching the proceedings on Facebook and just wishing I could even just be there you had a great run, top 8, and being able to watch Marcel's match would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time. And I know when Worlds comes around, Ron, then it's on for real, right?
Like I said, World Championship, it's on like Donkey Kong, practicing, testing, playing X-Wing for 2 days. I don't care. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited for Worlds. And I think now, like even more than ever, we have a great group of guys to test with. So we should all be that much better.
Yeah, so going into the tournament, you know, I had a hard time kind of gauging where I stood, because we do have a great group of guys. We have a lot of good players. It was definitely a pretty good confidence boost to go into Gen Con and take 5th in Swiss, make that top 8 cut, and yeah, super pumped. First thing I want to say is thank you to everybody in Gold Squadron who has played every game. We learned something, and all those games were important because they helped me get to that spot. It was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to touch on what you're talking about on how we have so many good players. I mean, we really do have some amazing players. We had a practice tournament right before Gen Con. We had, what, I think 18 players for that. And I got the standings, you know, sitting right here. And it was, here's your top 5. Me in first. I somehow won first. Then you had Dion in second. Marcel in third. Brandon in fourth. And Nicholas Tobin in fifth.
Good stuff. And Nicholas just, he was in the top 16. He didn't, unfortunately, didn't hit that hit that top 8 mark, but he played really well at the tournament as well.
Yeah, I think he actually finished 14th.
There you go. Yeah, a lot of good players coming out of Chicago. You know, one of my goals, you know, it might be kind of lofty. You know, a lot of people have heard of Nova Squadron. I hear, you know, they got some good guys. But this year especially, I think we're getting on the map. We got a lot of players who probably after Worlds last year have picked up the game more, been really working at it. And we're starting to make our push. We had Darwin top 4 at the Hoth Open.
Yep.
Now we had Marcel win it. I got top 8. And we're just going to keep pushing.
Yeah, and like I said, Nicholas was 14th. I think Chicago in general just was great for this tournament. We got to mention Eric. I hope I don't pronounce his name too badly. Eric Skyrick. He normally plays down by like the dojo and stuff. Amazing player. He finished in the top eight. We also had Kyle Adams, who finished in the top four, and he was actually in the finals last year at Nationals.
Yeah, so four out of the top eight were all from Chicago.
Correct.
Awesome. Chi-Town.
That's what's up.
Let's take a second before I kind of go through my games. I want to talk about the top eight lists. You know, it was extremely diverse meta, at least from what I saw. I heard some people complaining that they played pile bases every round or X, Y, and Z. I saw every faction. I saw tons of Rebels. I saw Scum. I saw Imperials. A pretty nice mix. And I'm hoping that FFG gives us a breakdown percentage to kind of see where everything fell. In Swiss, Daniel H. Actually, let me take a second. If you're listening to this podcast and you played at Gen Con, go on to List Juggler and put your stuff in. The top eight players, most of us have put it in there already. But let's get it in there. Get that data for everybody. So we had in the top eight, we had a Biggs, Corrin, Westless. We had Palpatine with Karner, Jax, and Ryad. So we got some immediate defender showing there. And then we had another Palpatine list with the Inquisitor and Soontir, run by Ron Brannon, I think his last name was.
Ronald yeah. Brannon. He's yeah. one of the guys from the Nova Squadron right. podcast.
And then we had Francois F. I'm trying to remember what his last name was. Francois Fresson, running two Lothal Rebels and a Y-Wing, all with Auto Blaster Turret. He had myself running a version of Dengaru, which I'll go through in a minute. And Marcel running his two scouts and a party bus. Kyle Adams running his advanced sensor robots, which were asymmetrical. And Eric running his four TLT Y-Wings scum. So there, you got, what is that, four scum lists, two rebel lists, and two imperial lists. I think that's a pretty good breakdown.
Yeah, I would say definitely every faction was represented, but there... As someone who had a little more time to just walk around and watch what people were flying, you definitely saw a lot of the same ships over and over again.
One ship I was surprised to see quite a bit, and I ran into it three times, was the Ghost.
Correct.
Tons of Ghosts.
There's a reason for that, and we'll probably talk about that. I mean, the biggest reason is Hull.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute, but yeah, tons of Ghosts around. So let me go through my list. I flew a version of Dengaru that I renamed Manigar because because I'm cool like that. So I had Dengar with Lone Wolf. He has one plasma torpedo, Zuckuss, overclocked R4, feedback array, the title, which brings his turret up to three attack, and countermeasures, and did I say feedback array already? And feedback array.
You did say that already.
Ah, okay. So big difference between this and Jeff Berling's list, which a lot of people are familiar with. No R5P8 and no glitter stem. Manaru has pushed the limit. Intel agent. She has R5P8, feedback array, and engine upgrade. So I ran feedback array on both of them because I was a little worried about aces. The pile bases, and it's funny, I only ended up playing one, but those feedback arrays really came in handy, but we'll talk about that when we get there. So I'm going to start going through my games. I'm going to try not to talk too much about each one, but ask questions, and I'll try to give the real pertinent information. All right, so starting with round one, unfortunately, I didn't get everybody's name, which I feel really bad about, but I'll do my best here. So round one. I played Brobots, B&C, and they had Mangler Cannon, Advanced Sensor, Hotshot Blaster, Auto Thrusters, and their title. I won that one 100-0, And I think this player, he came in really fast, and unfortunately, because I was able to put the rocks on the left side, I knew that he was going to go after Manaru, so I baited him into flying into a bunch of rocks, and before it was too late, Dengar was able to take out an IG, and then there was 2-on-1, and unfortunately, he didn't have any shots after that. And then with my 2-sloop, I was able to control some of the range as well, and he basically was only able to shoot at one ship at a time, and with the shenanigans with passing the focus to Dengar, rerolls with Lone Wolf, he maybe did 2 shields. And that was that game. Round 2, I played against David Sorensen, and he was flying interesting list here. He had a Glaive Squadron pilot that's in the Defender with a Flechette cannon, Ty D title, then Vessery with also Ty D title and an Ion cannon, and then a Gamma Squadron with Fleet Officer and System Officer. So he flew these guys in formation using the TIE shuttle to give his ships target lock focus every single turn, which is really awesome. We set up pretty much to joust, and he went after Manaru and tried to pincer Dengar. But unfortunately, he flew his bomber off the board on a K-turn, I believe it was. And then after that, it was pretty much cleanup. He didn't have his support ships, and he kept trying to chase Manaru, and Dengar was just behind them, hitting him hard. Even though he had his 5 forwards, I made sure to cut Manaru in. That way, Dengar was able to approach them without, just going straight. Round 3, another set of robots. And here, they were advanced sensor robots with a Tani Mind Link. I had never seen this. It was really cool. They had HLC, auto thrusters, and inertial dampeners. And this guy whooped my butt. He did really well. He had focus evade every turn. And I think I got half down on one of the robots. But that was definitely a rough game. Really well flown. It was tough. Robots is a really good matchup against Dengaru, because they have the auto thrusters, and if I don't have you in arc, I won't be able to do my shenanigans.
Yeah, and if you don't deal enough damage with your ordnance, that 2 dice is never hurting them.
Exactly. Yep. That's what happened. Yeah, he picked me apart. It was a really good game.
So looking back, what do you think you would have done differently?
My approach was not very good. I went in. I did a 1 forward, kind of wanted to get a gauge for what he was going to do. And for my action, this was my first mistake. I maybe should have barrel rolled backwards and maybe have taken a little less space. And I focused, and I, looking back on that, I think that mattered, because he went, I think, as fast as they go, so 4 or 5 forward, whatever it is, and then got me in range 1 and nullified my torpedo. And wasn't able to get it off the next turn. And then after that, pretty much, he did a great job advanced censoring to get in Dengar's way. And then sent the other one around after Manaru. If I would have gotten that torpedo off, I think, right away, he would have had to play a little bit more defensively rather than being able to be so aggressive as those aggressors are.
Sure.
Yep. Round 4... I lost this one as well. This was to a Lothal Rebel with Auto Blaster, Intel Agent, Hero Crew, and 3 Green Squadron Pilots. And this is the game I left the most frustrated, because I tried a strategy that I had never practiced before. And I set it up, and I was getting ready for dials in round 1 and kind of went, oh, crap. Why in the world did I do this approach? Because it was just bad. I set up in a castle. Why did I do this? Because I wasn't really sure how to get out of it in a timely fashion. So I said, well, okay, let's let's castle and see what he's going to do. He came in so fast with those A-wings and the ghost. I got cornered in my own corner. I basically never left it. And he took me down. I think I got half of the ghost and maybe an A-wing before he was able to kill everything. But yeah, I got stuck in my own corner with Manaru and Dengar together. So I wasn't able to use Lone Wolf to modify. And I had to keep my focus on Manaru to try to keep her alive. Dengar was getting bumped, so no actions. It was a hot mess. I really needed to collect myself after that because I was pretty upset with myself for trying a strategy that I had not practiced. So pro tip one, if you didn't practice a strategy, don't just go out there and do it unless you're really, really confident. I know sometimes you take a risk, but that one did not pay off for me at all. And I'm just being honest about it just because I think it's helpful to know that, hey, you know, hey, I made top eight, but I messed some stuff up too. Tyler Levy, I played him in round 5. He had 2 gamma bombers with crack shot, homing missiles, extra munitions, and thermal detonators, and long-range scanner, and then also with Whisper, who had VI, fire control, intel agent, and advanced cloaking device. You know, I looked at those missiles and know that was going to hurt. I had focused. I said, all right, what had I practiced? And I had practiced range control. And my strategy with, you know, very basic is just run away with Manaru or try to do a little bait and switch or something like that. In this one, he came in fast. I had forward one, barrel rolled backwards, was able to bring back up. And he was trying to fly Whisper around on my right side of the board, trying to get around to Manaru. I was able to get 4 damage in with using Zuckuss on one of the bombers, and after that was able to get into was out of range of the second one. They were not able to shoot a missile at me because I popped countermeasures to take the target lock off, and then basically was able to fly past them. Manaru and Dengar together were able to kill Whisper. Manaru used feedback array one, and Dengar was able to just push through. I had a 97 point initiative bid, so I took the initiative and was able to throw 4 dice at range 1 at Whisper and finish her off. After that, it was pretty much clean up. I won that one 100-0. Really good game, good guy, had a lot of fun. Round 6, I don't have the score of this one, but I do want to say this was probably one of my most fun games. The guy who I had played kind of had a few opponents who didn't have very good attitudes, which was unfortunate. So when he sat down, he looked a little bit serious. I tried to loosen him up, and with all my opponents, when I shook their hand, I said, hey, you know, most important, let's make sure we have a good time. And right there, he really relaxed, and I did beat him, but he had a good time. And he, you know, after we were finished, came around and said, hey, man, you know, even though it was a tough game for me and I lost, I had a great time, and I want to thank you for that. So, you know, make sure that when we're playing at these tournaments, you know, we got to remember your opponents are people too.
You also have to remember in general, like, the whole point of going there is to have fun. Yes. So if you're not having fun, then you're doing something wrong and maybe you should be doing something else.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. He had a really cool list. So here another ghost comes up. He had Hera in the ghost.
Yep.
With fire control, dorsal turret, Neon Numb, and Han Solo. He had Ezra docked, and he had Chopper, Auto Blaster, and Rage.
He had no systems upgrade?
He had fire control system.
Oh, he did. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize, but I missed that.
No, you're good. You're good. And then he tag-teamed that with Jake, who had Auto Thrusters, the A-Wing test pilot title, Veteran Instincts, Shard on Refit, and Push the Limit. Jake is a squirrely bastard. He's hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. He's like the Rebel Sunterfell.
Absolutely. And honestly, like, I think back to this game, and there was more than once where I think if he would have had room somewhere to get proton rockets, He didn't have space for that in his list, but if he would have, there was once he took a range one shot at one time and got zero damage through, and then I evaded it pretty easily with Dengar. But those prockets could have made a big difference in the game. I learned from my mistake. I thought back to my game with the Ghost in round four and knew that I couldn't get stuck in the corner again. So I made sure I controlled the middle of the board with Dengar as quickly as possible. I was able to take Jake down first. He was able to get half of Manaru with the Ghost. He kind of swung around and was able to take some shots from long range and was able to get them through. But I was able to take down the Ghost with the shuttle still inside of it. So Ezra had a damage coming out of the shuttle when he came out. And unfortunately, he K-turned with Ezra, so we got him the stress to be able to use his defensive ability. And it didn't matter because he blanked out, and I basically one-shot Ezra after that. So rough game on his side dice-wise, but he flew very well. And most importantly, we had a great time. So after that, that's day one. That's on Thursday. I went 4-2, and I ended in 17th position.
All right, so let's break it up real quick. So you're coming out day one. You made it day two. What are your thoughts? What are you most scared of seeing day two?
Well, knowing I didn't want to see any more ghosts.
that's ominous.
Yeah, I know. So I didn't want to see any more ghosts because I knew I faced it at this point twice. Yeah, I faced it twice and 16 hit points. So many hit points. It's just so tough to get through. Oh, man. And actually, this is perfect. Marcel, thanks for joining us, man.
Hello. Hey, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you. Well, that's our North American champion, Marcel, Woo-hoo! Who's joining us.
Congrats, champ.
Thank you.
All right, so, Alex, I didn't want to see any more ghosts. They're so hard to take down, 16 hit points, and they have that four-dice shot. You know, I'm motivated to get into range one to try to take four-dice shots at it, but if I end up in that arc, that can be a little bit trouble, but I did well at least in that last game in round six to leverage the fact that I had the turret and he only had an auto blaster, so I took a couple risks there and it worked out. Round seven on Saturday, I played against Andrew Starling and he brought something that made me a little bit worried. He had Palob in the Hawk, which I hate him because then I can't do my shenanigans if I don't have focus token. Palob had a death ability, TLT, and Moldy Crow. He also had a Manaru, kitted out more like a torpedo scout. He had Deadeye, Overclock, Plasmas, Extra Munitions, Feedback Array, Forlom, and Guidance Chips. And then he had Zuckuss in the G1A with the Tidal, Tractor Beam, VI, and Dengar Crew. I knew the biggest threat on the board immediately is Palob, and I'm going to tell you, I absolutely lucked out. Opening engagement, I had a feeling he would go slow because maybe he assumed that I would go fast and go really aggressive at Palob. So his moves were forward one, and then he went forward four. I went forward one, barrel rolled backwards, and then only did I think it was a two or a three forward. I'm kind of blanking on what that was. And I had just had range two. I shot my plasma torpedo at it with the focus from Manaru. I rolled crit, hit, focus, flipped the focus. He blanked. He got blank evade. I made him re-roll. He got two blanks. And he drew a direct hit. And Palob never got to shoot. After that, I was able to pretty much Do a little bit of bumping to make sure only get shot by one ship at a time, and pretty much just cleaned up after that. I cannot tell you how relieved I was to get Pelop off of there. Manaru only, I believe, got one torpedo through, and him, Manaru and Zuckuss together was able to take out Dengar. Eventually, I made sure to leave Zuckuss for the end game. He only has one evade dice, and he had one hit left. I flew Manaru in at range one. Took a shot. I think all her shields came off, but because she has five hull, that's not half points off of her. And I got three hits. Zuckuss was dead. Won that game 100-57. Round eight, I played against Alexander Yoon. He had another ghost. It was Kanan with recon specialist, TLT, advanced sensors, tactician, and tactical jammer. Docked, he had Ezra with rage and chopper, and Biggs with R4, D6, and integrated. Now, this match kind of started a little funny because he started the game, sat down, was like, hey, you know, nice to meet you, let's have a good time. He's like, oh, this game doesn't really matter. I'm like, I kind of asked, I said, excuse me, what do you mean it doesn't matter? He's like, oh, we're totally out of it, there's no chance. And I said, I don't know about that. I don't think so. I think mathematically there's a chance. So, you know, I don't know if maybe he didn't fly as well as he would have if he thought something was on the line. But I was able to beat him 100-28. He flew Biggs behind the ghost, but I was able to control the range. And I had the ghost in range for the plasma torpedo right off the bat. He was the only person who lined up his squad on the side that I usually put Manaru on the right side, that way she can NASCAR around, you know. He was the only person who purposely set up on that side, but what I just did is I kind of did a switcheroo. I put both Dengar and Manaru on the same side, and then just took Manaru to the left side and made sure not to stress myself on the turns, or before the turns, that way I could do my hard right turn and not worry about needing to clear stress. Pretty much I was able to take down Biggs in three turns of fire while only getting shot once by Kanan. The shuttle was ejected before Biggs got blown up. And then what I started doing is I started bumping the ghost while shooting the shuttle, not to get double tapped. Not to get shot by the ghost and other things, because the ghost had done a K-turn. But I leveraged my turret, was able to take the shuttle down, and then the ghost down. Like I said, I won. He got half on Dengar. Then round nine, which was I think my favorite of them all. You know, we're at the end here. I play against Eric Burling. So this is Jeff Burling's brother, one of the guys who helped him, you know, test and put together the famous Dengaru list that he played. That a lot of people are using now. Let me preface by saying that I did play Manaru and Dengar before it got cool. I was like the hipster, all right? But I kept using it. Anyway.
Although it wasn't the exact same build.
Oh, no, it wasn't the exact same build. I didn't realize how good Zuckuss was until I saw what he did and went, holy crap.
Oh, Zuckuss is the man. I love Zuckuss. Yeah, I love Zuckuss.
Zuckuss is really good. But anyway, so I knew that he knew how to beat this list. So the advantage I had was the fact that he brought Palp Aces, and I had not played Palp Aces once, and that was the only reason why I put feedback array on both of my guys. He had 98 points, I had 97, and I gave him the initiative. So, you know, Sunter can do all his shenanigans. If I need to do a barrel roll with Dengar, I would. I made sure not to stress out Dengar. I did not use Zuckuss until the very end game. Or if I did, it was like only one dice. And I made sure I could relieve that stress. Because if Manaru died, I did not want to get stuck without actions. He started, and Sunter lined up across from where Dengar would be. And he lined up Karner Jacks across where Manaru was and put the shuttle right in the middle. I slow played a little bit because I had a feeling he was kind of going to try a bait and switch, and that's pretty much what he did. He took Carter Jax and Soontar Fel and switched sides. So now Carter Jax is coming at Dengar. Soontar is pursuing Manaroo. I got fortunate on probably like the third turn of engagement. He had shots with the shuttle on Manaroo, but I was able to block Soontar feedback array one time. And then he took a risk. He shot at Manaroo. He had one shot with Soontar on Manaroo, and then R5 P8 went off. He had his other damage. That was a second damage on Soontar Fel. And then we came to an engagement on my side of the board, and the question was whether or not I could make a hard left turn and not hit a debris cloud that was there. And I missed that debris cloud by a fraction of a millimeter. It was fantastic. I was able to barrel roll. I blocked Soontar. Soontar was off the board. Cool. While all that, yeah, it was fantastic. While all that was going on, Carter Jax had not really engaged with Dengar. He was more just avoiding shots. He turned away at one point, and I had a feeling he was going to turn away. So I turned Dengar in and was able to get a plasma off on the shuttle. After that, the shuttle got a couple more shots in there. He got half points off of Manaroo, and he had a whole upgrade on Carter Jax. So that was a little bit of a pain in the butt to get that one extra damage through. But I was able to get a block in there. I zapped him with Dengar's feedback array to finish the game, and that got me enough MOV to be fifth in Swiss after that.
Well done, man.
So, it was crazy. Round one of the cut, I played against Francois Frezen, and that was Marcel's final opponent. He'll talk a little bit more about their game in a little bit. But he had two ghosts and a Y-Wing, all with Auto Blaster. One of the ghosts had Zeb on it, and one of them had Chopper, I think. I lost that one pretty much because I was too aggressive. I got Manaroo stuck in a corner on the other side of the table. Big strength to that list is that it has 40 hit points. Mm. Yeah, 40 hit points to get through. I got both of the ghosts down to half, but it didn't matter because I got blowed up before that. So that was the end of my run, but I was super excited. I got fifth place. I got those really cool official FFG white and red divided range rulers. You know, got the cards and stuff too. But I was really pumped. Now, what you've all been waiting for. Marcel. Hey. Marcel. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Actually, as if I didn't have enough X-Wing over the weekend, just got back from testing out the ARC 170 at went to go see some friends at Fair Games and gave that ARC 170 a run. So, Still going. Still got that X-Wing bug, even after the long weekend.
Oh, absolutely. I played, I told Ron earlier, before we started recording, I played in an event yesterday. A little mini tournament. Yeah, I love this game.
Hey, man, after winning Gen Con, I would have walked into any store and be like, hey, I just won.
All right, man. So the floor is yours. Let us know. Tell us about your games. Tell us about your run, your thoughts, your reflections.
You could start with your list.
Yeah, I'll start with my list. So I actually ran a variation of what I ran at the Hoth Open, which went 3-3 for me. But that was the first time I actually took the list out, which was two Jump Masters, Pilot Skill 3, and a party bus with Slaver, Dengar, Zuckuss, and Forlom. This was the first time that I actually put Forlom on there. I always flew it without it. And the Jump Masters, the first Jump Master was the same Jump Master that most people run these days after the FAQ change. So that's the one with the plasma torpedo, the Deadeye, extra munitions. The difference that I had with that one, oh, and the overclocked for keeping the take a stress to keep the focus. The difference is that I put intelligence agent. I've noticed that when I'm flying against anything that's higher pilot skill, especially something that's going to try to arc dodge me, it's really important for me to get the block. I'd rather get the block than get the shot. So I had intelligence agent. For the other Jumpmaster, I actually went a little bit different in that I didn't use any agromech at all. I just went with the Deadeye, the proton torpedoes, extra munitions. And instead of going with the agromech, I chose to go with Boba Fett, which was, again, the first time that I flew Boba Fett in a tournament other than the week before at Pastimes where I tested it out and it did all right. And that was the list. And really, I came into the tournament. I went over there really just expecting to have a little bit of fun. So much so that I actually didn't buy the whole four-day pass. I just bought the Friday and the family day on Sunday. Because I wasn't expecting to make the cut. I was like, I'm just going to go in, have six rounds of games, and then hang out in the city a little bit with the family on Saturday. But it didn't work out that way.
Poor guy, you had to buy a whole badge.
Oh, I had to buy another badge, which actually is more expensive. It was like $80 because if you buy it on the spot, it was like $80. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone's going to feel sorry for you.
No, I don't think so. I was trying to think, like, maybe they would, but no, it was well worth it. So going into the first matchup, I didn't write down people's names and people's lists. Again, I came in expecting to. My goal was to go 4-2, 3-3. I'd be happy. 2-4. Like losing more than four, I was probably not gonna drop, but just not gonna feel real good about it. And so I didn't take anybody's names down or anything. So, but I do remember that the first list that I flew against was the Dengaru list that is probably the most popular one out there, which is the one that has R5P8 on Dengar, not on Manaru. And it has Recon Specialist with Push the Limit on Manaru. And going into that matchup, I actually felt pretty comfortable because when I put the list together, the reason I chose that list versus the Imperial Aces that I was originally going to go with was because I playtested it. The Imperial Aces, I playtested it against Dengaru. Brandon from Pastimes was kind enough to beat me silly when I was flying the Aces with Dengaru. So that kind of made me decide, nah, I probably don't want to use Aces this time. And I went with this, play tested against him, and it did pretty well. My idea is go at Dengar as fast as possible, because usually most people try to go to Manaru. And if I go after Dengar as fast as I can, even if he gets shots off at me with a plasma followed by a proton, it's pretty devastating. I mean, even if he takes out a full ship with that, at that point you have a Dengar that's not maneuverable because he's probably stressed out, and it's just squeaking by with a couple hull left. So that was my whole approach for flying against the Dengaru list. And it worked out really well. I mean, the dice were friendly to me. The dice were not friendly to my opponent, who I don't remember his name. He was a really great guy, really fun to play with. But, yeah, it was a quick match. I think we finished in less than 20 minutes, and it was a 100-0 win. It's just, again, he came at me with Dengar right away. I went straight at him, and it was very quick. The second match, I played against one that was actually really tough, and I didn't know all the rules. He had to educate me on the rules of Biggs, because he flew Ghost Cannon with Biggs, and then he had Ezra docked on the Ghost, and I think he had the regular build, which is the one where they put a tactical jammer, and then they do chopper, recon specialist, and fire control system, auto blaster, and then the stress on Biggs, the one that the R, I can't remember.
R4D.
R4D6.
Right. Yeah. And
I played against the exact same list.
It was really tough. And I thought coming into the match, I had always played it that way, that if I had Arc for the torpedo on the Ghost, and Biggs was out of Arc of the torpedo, I can say, well, I'm shooting my torpedo. And I'm not.
Nope.
I can't. Biggs is out of the arc of my torpedo, so I can just shoot my torpedo. I got educated, told otherwise. The judge came over. He's like, nope. You have to. You can't shoot your torpedo. You got to use your two dice pea shooter against Biggs through a technical jammer, and then, you know, one less die. So I'm shooting with one. So that changed things quite a bit. So after that, once I learned that, I changed my approach a little bit, and I disengaged with the two scouts and went with the Slaver 4 forward to basically just try to create some blocks and try to separate Biggs from Cannon. And I was positioned in a way on the left side of the table to where the only real move for Cannon was to shoot forward, or else he was going to get 4 dice from the Slaver. And once he separated Cannon from Biggs, I was able to use a torpedo on Biggs to take him out. And actually, I got a little bit lucky because I rolled 2 hits and 2 crits, which, you know, the stress mitigation didn't. He wasn't able to use that stress to mitigate the damage. And after that, I think it still took a while. I think that match ended 100-49. And at the very end, he had Ezra basically just running around trying to poke shots at me. He had Rage on Ezra, if I'm not mistaken. And I think the critical choice in that whole match that really tipped it in my favor is there was a point where the Ghost was going to have a shot at me with 4 dice, and had he taken Ezra out on that round, Ezra would have had a range 1 at me as well with Rage, which is the whole rerolls and focus to probably take me out, and he chose to keep him in. And after that, I killed the Ghost on the next round, so Ezra got out with the damage. He was forced out, so it was I think that was probably the critical point in that one. But it's a tough list. It's actually, it's a really tough list, especially with Biggs of making you not shoot your torpedoes and instead have to shoot them with the regular guns.
Yeah, because I mean that droid basically just cancels out your torpedoes.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. Did that guy have his stuff painted up? His ships.
Oh my god!
Because I was curious if we played the same guy. Was his Biggs kind of like painted up like a dogfighter?
I don't think so.
Had like teeth on it. No. Okay, maybe different guy. Same list, different guy. Never mind. Keep moving.
Yeah, so the third match was the toughest match of them all. I was facing, again, I forgot the guy's name. I apologize. I was facing a guy that ended the night 5-1. And we lined up next to each other. He was flying, I believe, two defenders and a shuttle. And he said, you know what? My friends are waiting for me for lunch. So you mind if I give you a 100-point victory and I go eat? It was such... So I got lucky on that one. He didn't lose after that either. That was his only loss was the forfeit that he took on the third round. So that actually opened up some time for me to actually make it to the FFG and wait in line and pick up my Shadowcaster and my Arc 170. Like I said, getting to this for me had to do just as much luck as it did with you know, good flying. A lot of things fell into place, including this guy who probably would have whooped me silly. Choosing to.
Well, he definitely had some confidence to say, "Hey, you know, I'm going to drop 200 points of MOV and whatever, and just walk away."
He said, "Well, you know, I'm not really here to be competitive. I'm just playing some X-Wing with friends, and they got hungry, so we're going to go eat." And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to force you to play when you don't want to." And then I asked him to go to the front of the table just to ask if that was allowed. And to see if there was somebody that had a bye, maybe, you know, I'll play somebody with a bye. But they told them that once the matchups are set, they're set. But it was fine. Basically, it's just as if he had lined up backwards on the mat and just flew off on the first turn.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's good. You know, and you made a point to see if, like, hey, I mean, I want to play somebody. So, yeah. Sweet. And, all right.
Yeah. Next round. And then on the fourth round, when I got back, from a very long break, I flew. I remember his face. He was again. I'm terrible with names, but he flew a Palpatine with sensor jammer, pilot skill 2 Palpatine, with Inquisitor, the regular loadout, and Sunterfell. This Palpasis was really the list that I didn't want to fly against. It's my favorite list to fly because I love Sunterfell, and it's my worst list to fly against because I hate Sunterfell. And it's just, I know I have the party bus there for a reason, but with the party bus, I mean, a Y-Wing can get behind the party bus and kill it, you know, and so if the Y-Wing can do that, what is Inquisitor or Sunterfell going to do? So in all of my matchups up until that point, including actually both matchups until that point, but basically my whole strategy going into this tournament was going to be kind of turtle up a little bit with the jump masters and the slaver positioned somewhere where they can turn left or right. I was putting one of the jump masters at one range to the left of the slaver, stop with the slaver, move one forward with the jump master, barrel roll right in front of it, so that the next turn he can one forward and bump, and basically it's the slaver stays there for two turns in a row, and it gives me an opportunity to see where the opponent's going. And I tried that with this list as well, just to figure out which direction he was going to take his shuttle, that being my primary target, and he started just going down the board, and I saw where he was going, I went all guns forward, and it was a really tough matchup. I remember that I got the shuttle, I finally killed the shuttle, he killed my slaver. But the slaver, before it died, I think took Sunterfell out. And at that point, I had two jump masters. I had two jump masters. against... No, actually, the Sunterfell didn't die. He didn't even get hurt. I hate him. yeah, so I killed the shuttle. He killed my slaver. And then I had a plasma torpedo shot against Inquisitor. And I got really lucky and landed three hits. So three hits actually went through on Inquisitor. So I had him down to one health. And in the very final salvo, when they called time, I had both. He was running away in the corner with one health. He had a focus and an evade facing the edge of the board where he can't shoot anyone. I had one of my jump masters at range one with a target lock in arc, and the other one with a target lock at range two in arc. And yeah, I just couldn't get any damage in. And he ended up winning that one. The final score was 33-34.
Oof, 1 point.
Yeah, 1 point and one hull.
Oh, that's rough.
But he flew well. I mean, it's in Sunterfell. I don't think I took a single shot at Sunterfell that match. Oh, actually, I did. I took a proton torpedo, which he evaded all four.
Of course, because that's did. What he does.
Yeah. So I think after I wasted a torpedo on him, I said, why bother?
Yeah, so a first-hand experience of the new tournament rules right there, a one-point loss.
Yeah, actually, for him, it would have mattered. I mean, for me, it was 0 points no matter what, but for him, he still got the 1 point versus the modified win.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then my fifth match, I flew against a really interesting list. I actually like this one a lot. He had Dengar, and he didn't have him with Zuckuss. He just had Dengar with, I wish I could remember everything he had on. I think he had Recon Specialist. He had Punishing One. But he wasn't flying it with Manaroo. He was flying it with Lats. And with the YV666 Lats.
Mm-hmm. That's the one that can spend target locks to lower agility?
Yeah. And I think he was flying him with the K4 security. No, Dengar had the K4 security droid, not Recon Specialist. He had Unhinged, so he's getting free target locks. And he's got the engine upgrade, so he's flying around. And then Lats had heavy laser cannon and a couple other things on him that were party bus style, Dengar Zuckuss crew. And that was actually a really fun match. It was, I ended up winning that one, I believe, 100-50. He killed my slaver and took one of my jump masters to half. But it was a fun matchup. I don't remember exactly how it went. These were really long matchups. I do remember my sixth match, though. That was, oh, man.
Burned in your memory, huh?
Oh, brother. Yeah, this guy, he lit me up. He lit me up so good. So he was flying a Manaroo with the Punishing One.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yep, so he had the Punishing One on Manaroo. And he had, I forgot all the other upgrades he had on it, but he had other upgrades to keep him beefy as well. And then he had Bossk with Guidance Chip, Cluster Missiles, Mangler Cannon, and then also the Vanguard Zuckuss and all those other reroll stuff, and Orla. And actually going into the match, I thought he had the range 2 and 3 missiles, the ones that turned the blank into a hit.
A concussion missile? So,
yeah, that's what I thought he had. And so I positioned myself in the opposite... Well, in one corner, he positioned himself because he placed second in the opposite corner, and I started doing the same thing where I kind of slow play and just hurdle up for a little bit and use barrel roll on the jump masters to keep the slaver back to see where he was going. Once I figured out he was just coming straight down the left side of the board towards me and was going to turn in, I split up my jump masters to to get shots in at Manaru. My idea was to take Manaru out first. And I got into a position where both my Plasma Jumpmaster and the Proton was going to have shots at Manaru. But what I failed to take into account was that his Bossk was at range two of my Jumpmaster, the one with plasmas, and then he shoots the cluster missiles, and the first one, you know, hit, and guidance chip turns that into a crit, and then that crit splits up into two hits, so that's five damage there, and then he does it again for another four damage this time. Three damage. So that left me with one hull after the first. He took out eight hull with that cluster missile.
Wow.
And then the punishing one with Manaru killed him. So my jump master was off the board before it even shot. I was like speechless. I was like, what just
happened?
like, did somebody get the license plate on that bus? Like, ah. That was horrible. So that was just a really bad moment. And then, however, after that, we actually turned out kind of good. He made one critical mistake with his Bossk, where he thought I was stressed and I couldn't stop in place. So he made a hard three, and I ended up taking the the stop maneuver, and I got behind him with my slaver, and at that point I killed him, and it was just my slaver against his Manaru, and we were both down to two hull on the final salvo, and he shot first and he killed me before, I mean, he was an arc too, but he killed me before my slaver got to shoot, so it actually ended up pretty close, but even if it was close, that just that first round where I lost a jump master with, with basically only two ships shooting at it was painful. It's a really interesting build. I never saw, I don't think I play enough to have seen that list before with Bossk and the clusters and the guided ships turning into crit, which splits up into double and doing that multiple times. It was pretty devastating. It was tough.
I've never seen a list like that. I mean, that's pretty crazy. You never think about a jump master being taken out before it can fire. That's pretty crazy. I mean, it's nine health total.
Yeah, nine health with two green dice to roll on top of that. Yeah, but it happens.
Yeah, no, that's a great combo. And especially because it's, he doesn't need help to do it. It's all on his ship.
Yeah. And, he did have the K3 security droid. Is that the one that gives you the free target lock for the green?
Mm-hmm.
So he had Dengar, Zuckus for putting the, the rerolls and the damage, and he was using the K3 to get the target lock for the cluster missile. So wow. It worked out really well for him.
Nice.
So he ended 4-2. I ended 4-2. Luckily, my Dengar match early on that had 100-0 victory, and my toughest match with him flying off the board on turn one gave me a good enough MOV to make it to the second day. I actually was not planning on making it to the second day. Not planning on going to the second day. I heard a lot of people that were 4-2 saying, well, the odds are pretty bad, and not only do you have to win out, you have to win out with good MOV. And I was planning on just not buying the ticket and not coming back for day two. And I think Al from Past Times and John and a couple other people just kind of talked me into it. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Just said, hey, give it a shot. What else are you gonna do? And talk to the real boss. And she said, yeah, why not? Let's go. And, you know, you said you came here to play, so might as well play. I was like, okay, I'll go in.
Behind most good X-Wing players is a great wife.
There you go.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, and by the way, for those of you who saw the, you know, either pictures of it on Twitter or the match, or we'll see it later from the Teeth Covenant, the paintings on my ship, the two jump masters and the slaver paintings were done by my wife. So, I have zero artistic talent. That's all her.
I did think it was awesome that, like, not only did you have the best list, you had the best looking list that day.
That's right. Yeah, man, she does fantastic work. I mean, we've seen some of your other painted ships, and she kicks butt. I'm sure she can make some money off commissions if she really wanted to.
She can, but every time she paints them, I keep them.
There you go. Like, oh, that's too nice. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. So on the second day, I decided to stick around. And my seventh match, the first match of day two, I flew against a Palpatine list with a Glaive with Juke and a Ried with Push the Limit. And that match was, it was really quick. That was like another 15-minute match, but that's just because we just jousted. It was just a straight joust, and my dice were hotter than his. And he really didn't fly bad. This was really just dice against dice, and my dice were hotter. So that was a really quick match.
Those ships want to move fast, so I'm sure you made sure you got those torpedoes off, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I got the torpedoes off on the two defenders got behind me. Behind the jump masters right away, but I wasn't really worried about that because I usually hang back with the slaver. So as soon as they got behind the jump masters, they were in range for the slaver, and the slaver's really the one that's better equipped to deal with the three agility from the defenders anyway, especially with Forlan, making sure that their evade token doesn't work. So yeah, it was. Again, it was just a dice game at that point, and I just had more modifications on my dice, and it was just for jousting. It was just a better matchup for me for jousting. I think, going after a master list like that, or going against slaver, the critical point is just get behind them, get at range, or get behind them. And let's see, my eighth match was against Richard. Is that his name? Richard, who's flying?
Richard Sue. Yep. Of Noble Squadron.
Noble Squadron. Okay, there you go. That was a again, the jump masters and the slaver are. I put that list together specifically to deal with Benguru. So he was kind of at a disadvantage from the get go, just because it's not necessarily a hard counter, but it's close to it, the Dengaru list. And
so how'd you deal with it?
How did I deal with the Dengarus?
Yes.
Well, the same way as I did with the first one. I really just ignored Manaru altogether. He was a little bit different. He had Gonk on his Manaru, so he was just hanging back, replenishing shields. And I went right at his Dengar. And then when he realized I was coming at his Dengar fast, he brought his Manaru around. Who he had, he actually had, unlike the first Dengaru list that I played against, he actually had torpedoes on both Manaru and Dengar. So he had a really strong Alpha Strike as well, which actually had me really worried, because I was expecting to play against Dengaru, but I wasn't expecting to play against a Dengaru that had torpedoes on both ships. Because they can cause as much damage as I can cause, but they can do it before I ever shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that he was going to engage with Manaru, instead of hanging him back. I disengaged from Bengar and turned into Manaru, and I, you know, he ended up being at torpedo range of both my ships, and I was in torpedo range of both of his ships. So it was just kind of a standoff. And he did some damage to one of my ships, but when I shot back, I took off all his shields with the first plasma, and then with the proton, I got a critical in. But after I got a critical in, I used Boba Fett to get rid of his gonk, which had four shields on it saved.
Oh,
so I got
wow.
rid of four shields on it. And after that, the way that he had positioned himself to take shots at me, we were just going to be bumping for the next several rounds. I have intelligence agent, so no matter where he was going to go, I was going to bump his Dengar, especially without, you know, with his dial being, you know, he had stress already. So at that point, we were just sitting in the middle, bumping each other with my slaver taking free shots at all of them, and yeah, just the slaver just did the rest of the work on that. Just kept my two jump masters kept Dengar from going anywhere. While the slaver just took shots at it, and it ended 100-0. I think he took two shields off.
Okay.
The whole match. So yeah, like I said, it was a bad matchup, and I don't think he appreciated it, because the rest of the day he kept on telling me that he's going to come to Chicago and look for me.
yeah, you're on the Richard Sue hit list.
Yeah. So the ninth match, which actually the ninth match was my favorite match out of the whole tournament. It was I played against Eric Spurza. Eric Spurza. Hello?
Yeah, no, I have no idea how to say his last name.
Okay. No, I just didn't know if it cut off for a second.
Yeah.
So, Eric, yeah, I played against Eric S. from Chicago, another Chicago guy, flying Thug Life, four TLT Y-Wings. I was nervous when I saw that across the board. I know they people say that the Jump Masters are what took the Y-Wings off the map, you know, from competitive play. But I was nervous because 8 guaranteed damage on is just really hard to stop. I mean, you can't. What are you going to do? You just pick, a little bit at a time. So with Absolutely. That match...
Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead.
All I was going to say was, I mean, if you don't control range well and have a good opening engagement, it's definitely hard. Like you said, it's pretty much against the low agility ships, 8 guaranteed damage a turn.
Yeah. It was, I was worried about it. And I was really worried about it because at this point, I was starting to think, you know, maybe there's a chance. You know, I won my first two matches. If I win this one, my MOV is pretty good, so maybe. So I was starting to feel the pressure a little bit, and I saw 4 TLTs on the other side. I got paired up again against somebody who only had one loss, and yeah, I just lined up, and I was just hanging back for the first, you know, I think we danced around each other. It was like the fifth or sixth round before anybody got a single shot off. Because he didn't know how to approach me, I didn't know how to approach him, so we were just dancing around, going in circles. And in first engagement, I actually got I got him where only one Y-wing was pointing at me, within range. And I got both. I got the plasma off, which took his three shields off, and then I got a proton off, which didn't kill him. But I was able to Boba Fett his TLT. So at that point, I'm like, okay, one TLT down. He's not dead, but I'm not scared of him no more. So then I was able to just concentrate on the other three TLTs. However, that's not that easy. and he flies really, really, not only really well, really weird, because he does things completely unexpected and something that, like, I would never do that. I was like, man, that's like the opposite of what I would do, and it worked for him. We poked at each other, and it went on till almost time. And then after a bunch of shooting and a bunch of dying, I had a full health Laver versus a full health Y-Wing. And I thought, I mean, I was in trouble. I was in real trouble. Because once that Y-Wing got behind me, there was really nothing I could do to shake it. Surprisingly, though, he started doing two turns to stay within range, and my three turns were keeping him in range. And we were just, you know, take two shields off me, take a shield off him, take two shields off me. And we did that, you know, we were just jousting in circles, going around and around, poking at each other until in the final solo, he had one health, I had one health. We were both pilot skill 2. He killed me in my return fire. I killed him, and then we went to a roll off.
The final salvo.
There you go. So we were going to the final salvo. Did not like my odds. I had 7 dice. He had 8. So I said let's kind of have a little fun with this. I think Nick was recording, and we had a crowd gathered at that point. So I said, you know, why don't we kind of do it like soccer, penalty kick style, where everybody just lines up, you know. So I took out my 7 dice and I put it in front of myself. He took out his 8 dice and he put it in front of him, and then we would just roll. He would roll 1, and I would roll 1, and hits went to the left, misses went to the right, and really is. I just got lucky. I think I rolled the first 4 hits, and he rolled 3 misses on his first 3. And, I just got lucky on that one. That's the definition of a dice game.
Wow. So you had another straight situation there, straight from the tournament rules that were just updated. You guys killed each other right at the end and had to do the official final salvo. No draws. Yeah. Somebody has to be declared winner.
Yeah. Luckily, and I was glad to see it later on, that Eric still got in with, even after that loss, he was still able to get into the top 8 in 8th place. So, you know, again, he's... I don't think I'd ever met him before, but I really liked him. He's... Just the way that he plays, he's always happy, whether if his dice are good or his dice are bad.
He's always having a good time, every time.
He's having a good time, and because he's having a good time, I'm having a good time. So it was a real pleasure to play with him.
Absolutely, and a quick shout out to Eric. My bad for for messing up the top 8 list with the names. I accidentally put the 9th place guy's name instead of his, and I was typing quickly trying to get everything updated on the podcast Facebook page, so my bad. We already had a little Facebook chat about it, but I wanted to give him a little shout out.
Great. And then after that, I was, I think, 6th. Was I 6th?
Yep, you were right behind me.
Yeah, because Dan, you were 5th, so yeah, I was 6th, and while we were waiting to, you know, for them to tell us when to come back for the first round of the quarterfinals, for the first round of elimination, Ron Brennan came up to me and said, "Hey, it's you and me." I'm like, your name sounds familiar. I think I heard of this guy before. never met him, but I was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen your name on, you know, people talk about you on Reddit. So if I know your name, I'm probably not going to like the matchup. And then I asked him, you know, what are you flying? And he said, I'm flying Palpatine with Sensor Jammer, Inquisitor, and Soonterfell. I'm like, oh my God. That's the same list that beat me. And now, you know, I'm playing against somebody who... Yeah, and against somebody whose name I recognize. I'm like, oh my God. So Yeah, I was sweating bullets the whole lunch. I was eating lunch like, man, this guy's gonna destroy me. but it was an interesting match. I learned from my previous mistake. Actually, let me rephrase that. This time, I listened to Francois, not the Francois who was flying the dual ghost, but Francois from
Gold Squadron. Yeah, Francois Moray.
There you go. Who told me, gave me some good advice, said, you know, with this particular list, you probably want to shoot the slaver as fast as possible, as hard as possible, and just use him as a blocker and as bait. And I was kind of scared of that because the slaver is the one that's going to put damage in on the aces, and giving up my only chance to do some damage against the aces is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But when the match started, I actually tried it. I shot him in, and the first salvo, he actually hung back while I was coming at him. He hung back, so he actually played. You know, he actually made me go towards him. And when we finally got an engagement, he was in a pretty good position. He actually had me flanked with both his aces and my slaver, and I was taking shots at his shuttle with all three ships, but I just couldn't seem to get any damage in while he was poking away at my slaver. And he had already gotten behind me, so I really thought I was in pretty deep trouble. However, he got his Sunterfell in a position where he had used his. Let me remember how this went. So sorry about that.
No, you're good. Take your time.
So I got a block on his Sunterfell with my slaver. And that was really, it was just kind of a tough situation. I don't think there was a whole lot that he can do about it. I didn't plan for it. I think he just, in this particular case, he kind of positioned himself in a bad way with Sunterfell, that he had to bump. And I was able to get a proton torpedo off, which, after it hit him, it was a direct hit.
Ooh.
So I was able to get a direct hit in, so he was down to one health. What I found out later, Francois Moray was reminded me, like, you hit him with a proton torpedo with Boba Fett, and you didn't use Boba Fett. And I completely forgot. I mean, I was just so happy that I got that I touched him.
Right.
I completely lost my mind. I'm like, that's Sunterfelling. He's down to one health. But yeah, and, you know, in retrospect, I should have taken away his push to limit. But that match, as it went, the plasmas got through on Inquisitor, and then after I killed his shuttle, killed my slaver. Sunterfell was down to one health. His Inquisitor was down to two health. And with my two shots with the Jumpmaster, I actually killed his Inquisitor, which was pretty surprising. I mean, that was just pure luck. You know, Inquisitor should evade two-shot dice from Jumpmasters, but he just wasn't able to. So I got really good dice rolls there. And then for the rest of the match, I had my two jump masters just pasting Sunterfell around the board, and he was playing really defensive, and I was just kind of chasing him, and then I disengaged to reposition myself and kind of face him, because I kept on shooting him out of arc with auto thrusters and all of that.
Right.
But I went off to the opposite corner to you know, do some sloops and come at him with, you know, facing him.
Uh-huh.
And my goal was using intelligence agent get close enough to see where he's going and then try to block. And that basically went on for like 10, 15 minutes until they said, you know, next round is the last round. And I even got more aggressive going 4-4 trying to kill him. And then when the round was over, I wasn't able to kill him, of course, because it's Unterfell.
Right.
But then when the round was over, we counted the points, and I had more points. So I was like, oh, I was chasing him the whole time, and I was the one that was actually leading on points.
It sounded like you both didn't realize
Yeah, we just both didn't, because he had one of my jump masters down to like 3 health.
Yeah.
And then my other jump master was clear of the shields, had no more shields, but had no damage on it. So he still wasn't worth half the points yet. So all he needed to do was just take one hull off the jump master that had no damage, and then he would have won on points. But again, we were just so so into it with me chasing him around and him trying to keep his one health Winterfell from dying that I just, you know, it never occurred to him that he had to get a damage in to win on points.
Right, he was worried about arc dodging.
Yeah, yeah. Then the 11th match was against Kyle Adams, flying the Brobots.
Yep.
And that match, I did not go straight forward. I actually just hung back, and he was really aggressive. A lot more aggressive than I thought he would be. I think within the third round, I was huddling back in the back right corner close to me, basically doing the whole, you know, one maneuver barrel roll, one maneuver barrel roll to keep myself back.
Mm-hmm.
And he just shot both of them straight in, you know, using boost and going forward to get at range one to avoid the torpedoes, which he did. But at that point, he had me at range one with nowhere to go because he had three big ships in front of him in the corner. And at that point, he was really in a bad spot because he had to do a lot of maneuvering to just get out of there after taking some shots from the slaver.
Yeah, I was sitting next to Nicholas Tobin. So Nicholas, him and Nicholas brought the same lists, and they had mm-hmm. practiced together. And when he went in as hard as he did, Nicholas was like, "What the hell is he doing? That was not the plan."
Well, yeah, I was definitely surprised because I thought he, you know, especially with the heavy laser cannon, I thought he would try to hang back, stay at range three, use auto thrusters to help with the evade from the torpedoes. Let me waste my torpedoes and then come in and just you know, take me out a little at a time. But no, he just came right at me. And then after that, both of his robots basically were out of the match for, I think, 4 rounds. It was like 4 rounds before he got in position to shoot again because I was constantly behind him. And if he would have done the sloop to turn around and face me, he actually couldn't have done that because he was pushing the limit to, you know, constantly pushing the limit. So he was stressed. He couldn't do the K turns. So yeah, it just got ugly for him at that point. It was, I don't remember what the final score was, but I think it was just a mental mistake to come in that hard. Like Nick said, it was just kind of a tough break. I think I don't want to think, but
I wonder if because I know me sometimes when I play against people who have the slaver. Mm-hmm. It tends to make me a little bit more aggressive because I say, "Oh, hey, it only has one die. Let me go try to kill it." And then you forget it has 12 health, and it's gonna take some work. But having that only that one defense die sometimes is a little bit of bait. And I wonder if maybe he. I mean, I know I've fallen trapped to that before. That maybe could be part of his thinking.
Yeah, probably. And I, you know, again, I don't know. Maybe he expected me to, you know, to hang back a little bit, and as soon as he comes in, kind of break out. But I just, you know, stayed turtled up even when he got close to me. I just stayed there until he was the one that was forced to kind of turn around and reposition. And that one's recorded, so however I'm saying it, if any mistakes I made, I guess, any mistakes that I made in how I remember it, I'll see you later with from Team Covenant.
Yep, the record will be set.
yes. And then finally with the final match against Francois, and his Ghost Wiling list. Yeah, I didn't know how to feel about that list. Before coming in to the tournament, I was actually thinking of bringing a dual Ghost list. Not the Y-Wing, just Cannon with Fire Control System, Recon Specialist, and Chopper. And a Lothal with Fire Control System, Auto Blaster, both of them with Auto Blaster. His was Hera and Ezra crew, so basically giving him like Chardonnay ability where focus turns into a crit and always taking red maneuvers.
Yep.
And then giving both of them plasmas with extra munitions and the other one with plasma and proton. So basically, even if they don't have the crew, you know, the little shuttle docked, they can still shoot out the front and they can still shoot out the back and they still have the auto blaster donut protected. So when I saw his list, I was confused is probably the best way, because I didn't know how to approach.
I mean, when I talked about it going through mine, I mean, there's 40 hit points there that you have to get through. 40. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you don't get ahead of the curve in the damage race, that's tough.
yeah, for sure. So I wasn't quite sure what to expect. I took the initiative on that one. I took the initiative. I won the dice roll and I chose to move first. And the reason I did that was because I have Intelligence Agent. And even though we're both at Pilot Skill 3, with Intelligence Agent, it would give me the opportunity to move first and do some blocking if I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I set up in the back right corner the way I always do, not knowing where he was going to set up. He had a Y-Wing in that corner, but I don't know if he was just using that as bait. And then he set up his two Ghosts in the same corner, just facing directly at me. And I kind of figured, you know, we're going to joust. And I actually like my chances jousting because I have plasmas and I have protons, and it'll take him a while to, you know, he has to shoot once first, then he acquires a target lock, then the next shot he's probably going to get, you know, good dice set, you know, after that.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved two forward with the Ghosts on the first one, and he moved three forward with the Y-Wing. I moved two forward with all of mine, so we were out of range on all of them. And then for the next maneuver, I kind of figured he would try to shoot all the way in and get to, you know, inside range one to avoid at least one of the protons.
Right.
So I did a three soft with the slaver to try to put a block in, which actually worked because it blocked his Ghost with the chopper on it. And my, you know, during the first round of fire, we both had each other at, you know, everybody was shooting everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We were at range two from the one that I was shooting at, with plasmas and with protons. And then because he had chopper, my slaver was going to be able to shoot him, and he was able to shoot as well.
Oh, you mean he had Zeb?
Zeb, yeah. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, the one with Zeb. Yeah, the one that lets you shoot when you're touching each other.
When you're touching each other in the arc, yep.
Yep. And so I like my chances. When I saw that, I said, I'm going to get two. My ideal situation was I'm going to go ahead and shoot him with the plasmas, take his shields down, shoot with the, because I had initiative, shoot with the protons, flip Boba Fett to get rid of his fire control system to hurt his action economy, and then try to finish him off with, well, not finish him off, but get him much lower with the slaver shooting four dice at, you know, because they're touching.
Yep.
So the first one, I take the stress to keep the focus and shoot my four dice and blank, 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 blank. And I was like, oof. And I mean, it was, it was rough. The, you know, when I saw that, I was like, I didn't know what to feel. I was like, this is probably the worst time for that. So that was what, that's four blanks. One turns into a hit with guidance chip. And then plasma takes one extra shield, so basically two shield off with one of my plasmas gone. The proton actually worked, you know, did what it was supposed to do. It took out the four remaining shields from him, and I think Dengar also did like three damage to him in that round, so he was down to seven after the first round of fire. However, both of his ghost and his Y-wing all took shots at my jump master, and I think my jump master was down to like two health or something like that after the first round, and he was in a bad position because he was blocked to a point where, you know, there was nowhere that he was going to be able to go without bumping into something.
I remember after that round, there was some nerves happening around when you guys went to dials. There was a couple of us who walked away, which is like, all right, we need a second. you know, because we didn't want to transfer the negative energy to you, you know.
yeah, and trust me, you didn't have to. There was it probably worked out for the best though, because after that, it was the opposite. Instead of getting nervous, I was like, oh well, you know. That's, you know, the dice gods have spoken, and I'm gonna lose this match, so, you know, let's just have some fun with it. And after that point, for the rest of the match, I had like zero nerves. It was just, you know, I was just playing with plastic ships again and you know, shooting, and you know, he was taking a long time between rounds, so I was just, you know, talking to the people and just having a good time again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Ron, actually. Is Ron on?
Ron actually had to step away. But you can go ahead.
I remember Ron, you know, when Francois was, you know, taking a long time between setting his dial, he's telling me, like, hey, calm down, don't let it get to you. And I was like, yeah, well, at this point, you know, I wasn't agitated or anything, because I honestly didn't like my chances, so I was just playing to have fun,
right?
And after that round, I wasn't quite I knew he was going to try to block with the Y-wing. I just didn't know who he was going to try to block, so I considered my jump master with Boba Fett dead already, with two health and two ghosts pointing at it. So I ran away with the slaver and with the other jump master that still had full health, and decided, you know what, let them focus in on the jump master, let them kill it, and, you know, I'll run away and kind of reposition myself to have another go at it. And I mean, the next round he took out the jump master. However, with the dual fire, or whatever you call it, the, you know, shooting because of the same pilot skill.
Right.
The jump master got two natural crits in, and that was enough for me to actually trigger Boba Fett to get rid of his fire control system. And nice. It also, it gave him like a loose stabilizer and another critical that I forgot what it was, but I mean,
I'm pulling up the my typing that I was doing for your game right now. I'll tell you what it is.
Oh
yeah,
yeah, from the podcast.
Yeah. Let's see.
Yeah, it was.
For the final two lists, it was right here. Okay, so all the way at the bottom. End of combat, round 11. Because I was doing every single round.
It was some sort of pilot crit. I can't remember which though.
Yeah, actually, I can see. Yeah, I think Radio TCX was also doing a play-by-play on Twitter. Yeah, it says right here. It was a weapons failure and major explosion.
There you go.
Yeah, so it wasn't the other one that I said. So it said, yeah. Well, he wrote that the jump with the intelligence agent did one halt. Oh. It says, yeah, the Boba Fett did two crits with Hull, weapons failure, and major explosion. What he didn't write down is that I took out his fire control system as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it was just really... after that, I did a nest loop with my Jumpmaster. I used my second plasmas to take the remaining three health off of the Jumpmaster with... I mean, off the Ghost with Zeb. And that took him off the board. And then after that, we danced around, and the critical moment came when he was probably about range two from the templates, not range two from the weapon, mm-hmm. from a asteroid. And I had Slaver on one side in front of him and my Jumpmaster on the other side. And I took a risk and put the Jumpmaster on one side of the asteroid because he had either had to turn left or right. And if he would have turned left, or he would have had my Slaver at range one and it would have been ugly. And if he would have turned right at two speed... he would have had my Jumpmaster at range one, which again would have been nasty. But luckily for me, he did a three right, which made him bump to my Jumpmaster with no shots. And it put him parallel to the Slaver, who had three shots at him. And it was just at range two by a millimeter, so he had no... auto blaster turret, he had no shots. And then after that point, it was kind of a cat and mouse game where he would run away for a little bit and try to reposition, and then I would run away a little bit and try to reposition. We poked at each other for a while. It went like that for a while until I think the second to the final round.
Uh-huh.
He did a K-turn over a rock, and at that point, I thought that was a strange maneuver, because he could have kept me in arc pretty easily. And
yeah, and he was, and it made him out of range, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it kept him out of range. He had no shots, because I had taken my Jumpmaster and kind of moved him behind, I had him in a place where he had no arc on anyone, yeah. And although I only had two shots at him, which both missed, it didn't really matter because I didn't get shot that round. And then after that, I think that was like two rounds before it finished.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge actually called time and said, this is your final round. And he had 4 health left on his ghost. I had, I think, 3 on my jump master and 4 on my, 4 on my slaver. So he turned in to try to get to range 1 of the slaver, which he didn't. He got to range 2. So he was going to have to do some, get some critical in with, you know, double damage or something to be able to win, because I was up on points. And I had a slaver, I had my jump master at range 2. And in the final round, you know, before he shot my slaver, I rolled 2 natural crits. And he pulled the first one out, double damage. Pulled the second one out, double damage. And that was game.
It was super exciting. We were there, it was like, both those direct hits being pulled out of the deck were just, it was nuts.
Yeah, I was refreshing Facebook like every 30 seconds. I was just like, come on, come on.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I mean, 4 health left. I jump master at range 2 without torpedoes, trying to do 4 damage in 1 round. It's not very likely, but yeah, it was the right dice and the right criticals at the right time for me. I guess the wrong ones for him.
And yeah, if you look at the picture of the very last engagement there, even if the scout wouldn't have been able to do it, you still had one more chance with the, because you still had Arc, I believe, on the ghost with your slaver.
Yeah, I did, but he was gonna shoot first.
That's so true. My slaver, he might do that. He might die.
So if he would have killed my slaver, and my slaver was ioned from the turn before, so
right.
But actually, it didn't matter because he was in stress. He still had a focus that round. But still, if he had an opportunity to kill my slaver, which would have won him the match on points. But it was a long shot. He had 3. No, actually, he had 4 dice. Wow, actually, yeah, ghost. So it wasn't that much of a long shot. He just had to land all 4.
Yep, I mean it was nothing. I mean, you guys went down. It was like you said. Last round, time, finished the game. I mean, it was fantastic. Very, very, you know, sports last time in the final shot of a basketball game style.
Yeah, it was a marathon for sure.
Well, man, we here at the Gold Squadron are super proud of you, man. We love that we get to play with you every week, and like I said, we're really, really proud of you. Good job.
I appreciate it, and you know, happy to be, happy to be part of the Gold Squadron and the Chicago community. But just happy that my brother got me into this game because it's been, you know, such great people. I mean, it's a really cool community. I've played, you know, video games and other types of games before, and it's hard to find, you know, a gaming group that really, you know, looks out for each other. And And, you know, maybe some people might get a little bit sour sometimes when they lose a match, but it doesn't last. It's just like, you know, they shake it off and they keep playing. But it's a really cool community.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Marcel, I want to thank you again for coming on, man. And, you got to come back on the show.
All right, we'll do.
You got to do it. People are going to want to hear from their North American champion.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, man, people are gonna know your name. They're gonna be looking out for you. You're going to Worlds, right?
Well, maybe they're gonna know my name. My name's Marcel, I guess.
Yeah. So FFG, when they were typing his name into Tome, the tournament software, put him as Marcel instead of Marcel. One letter. It's okay.
That's close enough. It's round.
Yeah. Exactly. From far away, you couldn't really tell that it was wrong, maybe? Sort of.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Any questions you have for him, Alex? Anything you want to bring up?
No, I think he covered everything pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really good breakdown. Good job. It's like you've been podcasting with us since the beginning, man. You're just good at this.
Is that what we're doing? I thought we were just...
Just jabbering.
That's all podcasting is. It's like, hey, here's a microphone. Just talk for a while and put it on the internet. People will listen to it.
Where are those transmissions you intercepted? What have you done with those plans?
Okay, everybody. So next X-Wing tournament we have coming up at Pastimes is going to be on September 4th. That's going to be the first Sunday of the month. So come on down, get some practice in, play with some good people. Maybe you'll get a chance to play with the North American champion.
Woot woot.
Yeah, I guess that's about it.
Registration's at 12. We start the dials down at 1. Maybe wave 9 will be legal by then?
Maybe.
We'll see. All right. I want to thank Alex for being on the show, as always.
Yep, anytime.
Ron had to dip out a little bit early. His bedtime was past. So thank you, Ron. And, of course, Marcel, our North American champion and member of Gold Squadron. It's pretty awesome to have brought that title to brought it home. And thank you for your support, all of you. There was a couple people who came up to me and saw my bag and saw, oh, Gold Squadron. I even had somebody want to take a picture with me. Like, that was kind of it was strange but kind of cool. I was like, oh, well, okay, sure, whatever, it's just a podcast. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the community's growing. We're getting a little bit of recognition. People are really enjoying the show, so thank you. We doubled our likes on Facebook. Things are going really well for Gold Squadron Podcast. As always, if you haven't liked our page yet, please look us up, Gold Squadron Podcast on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. We are at Gold Squadron Podcast. If you have any questions about what we do on the show, something you want to hear, you want suggestions for your list, you can email us at goldsquadronpodcast@gmail.com. Have a good day, everybody. Gold Squadron out.